Tonight on TMSPM, coloring is fun.
Wreck it again in 2018.
Skojo makes bank.
Never say never to Potter.
Never say never to pot. Oh. Why we die.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM, the PM edition of the show on Thursday at, 3:02 PM Mountain Time?
3:02 only time zone PM Mountain Time.
That's right. June 30th, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ebbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Feeling nice and chill. I went out right before the show. I've been working like crazy today. So right before the show, I decided to take 20 minutes, lay on the hammock in the sun, dog curled up next to my head, relax. The sun, it's actually not in the sun. There's cloud cover. So I'm thinking this will be great. And I almost fell asleep. It's a good thing this happened because I almost fell asleep. And right around the time I need to get up out of there and come down here to do the show, the sun came out from the clouds. And that suddenly I felt like I was cooking on a big old grill.
Yeah.
It's real weird. So.
Funny, 15 minutes ago, I was getting out of our hammock after sitting there for about 15 minutes.
Ah, look at us.
Yeah.
We're mirror matching.
We know how to operate.
We sure do. So we got some stuff to do, the normal proceedings of your Sunday or your Wednesday, Thursday afternoon thing. But I have some good news for everyone.
If
you care about this, I don't know if people care or not, but I have stealthily put something out or together that will be showing up in the Frog Pants store very shortly. Actually, let me see if it's there yet. If it's not, then I won't tell you to go there. But let's see. It is not yet there. It will be soon. I made an Extra Life coloring book, a short book full of art that I've done minus all the color so that you can color them. It's cheap and it's for kids. Or adults, it doesn't matter.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, you know, coloring books are kind of the thing now for adults.
Mm-hmm. People love that.
It's relaxing. It's like
stress relieving, sure.
Right.
Now, a lot of the adult ones I looked into were were like lots of little intricate patterns and things. It reminds me of like April Ness's artwork style stuff.
Tiny areas to fill in and stuff like that.
Yeah, little cell shady whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is different than that. This is like actual comic work that I've done over the years. Some of it more recent than others, but it will. They're all stuff I chose based on, hey, this would be fun to color, or I remember it being fun to color.
Right.
And I stripped away all the color and gave you black and white images and a lovely little intro and a nice little back cover and a nice little front cover. And it's a super cheap little, you know, thin book that's available soon. So keep your eyes. Those are the two squishy balls in your head there.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
That's right. That prize being frogpants.com/store. Okay? That's coming soon if you are interested in such things. It's a small little project. That'll be fun. And, you know, if it does well, great. If not, hey, I made a coloring book. So there you go. Oh, and if it does well, maybe new ones will happen. That'll all be original art or there'll be a themed thing. Maybe even a TMS one, or maybe Carter will help contribute to the next one or something. We have ideas.
There are things that can happen based on the popularity of this.
Plans,
dang it.
Plans are afoot.
Tease me, bro.
Crunchy microphone man.
I know. I don't know what to do about it. I would, if we weren't doing a show right now, I would just reboot, but I don't think I can just do that.
What would Trump say?
What?
All right, he said what.
Yeah, that's exactly what he'd say.
All right, great. Well, there's that. I believe it's time for a little bit of the evening news.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's brought to you by...
Happy Independence Day from Where's the Next Shelter? Check it out. The true story of tadpooler Gary Sizer, who hiked the entire Appalachian Trail, is now 99 cents on Kindle. So many listeners are on vacation this weekend, and you'll need a good book to read, so why not pick up this hilarious, epic, real-life adventure for less than the cost of a pack of gum? Find out what all the hype is about and get your copy of Where's the Next Shelter today.
That sounds good. Was that your phone that made that?
It was.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's totally fine. Just didn't recognize it for some reason.
Yeah, between microphone crunchiness and a phone ringing. What the heck, right? It's almost like I'm not a legacy podcaster here.
I know. It's almost as if that title means nothing.
Right.
I don't want to.
Oh, now stop. No, why did I even? I'm not trying to bring it up.
I'm just saying it's kind of a. It's kind of a. What's the word? It's a
straw man.
Yes. It's the straw man. Meaning it's be kind of dumb and useless and doesn't actually mean anything. Right,
exactly.
It's meant to placate people, but whatever.
Right, right.
Hey, Disney plans Wreck-It Ralph sequel for 2018 is our top story.
Cool.
Director Rich Moore and writer Phil Johnston will reteam as the directing team for the follow-up to the 2012 video game-inspired animation epic Walt Disney's animation thing, Wreck-It Ralph. And they're going to wreck it again. The animation studio has unveiled...
Re-Wreck-It Ralph.
Re-Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph, they should
wreck
name it
again, Ralph.
They need to do it like a video game would title itself. Like,
Oh, right. Wreck-It Ralph 2 Insurgents.
That's pretty good. Or do like Street Fighter. Wreck-It
Shadow
Ralph.
Splinter Cell.
Wreck-It Ralph 2 Alpha. Or Wreck-It Ralph 2...
2.0. See, that's what they could do. Wreck-It Ralph 2.0.
That's not bad. Although they don't really do that with video games, though. They do that for sequels. They don't.
No, but they do with software.
Yeah, that's true.
And a video game is software, basically.
You're right about that. How about Wreck-It Ralph... Hyper fighting or something like that. It's got to be like some dumb video game dumbness.
Katrina beat me to it, but Wreck-It Ralph 2 The Reckoning. Actually, I guess Tondagasa came up with that too.
That's not bad.
Yep.
Well, it's happening March 9th, 2018. Wreck-It Ralph director Rich Moore and Phil Johnston made the announcement via Facebook. Also on hand for the news was Wreck-It Ralph star John C. Reilly.
He's Mr.
Movie.
Cellophane.
Yeah, he's the guy. Mm-hmm. We are announcing Wreck-It Ralph, they say, but I already announced that by accident, says Reilly in the video while wearing imitation Ralph hands. Yes, several times, replied Moore, so I guess he's been leaking it and saying it all the time. So anyway, there you go. The misunderstood villain is an 8-bit video game, from an 8-bit video game who decides to change his persona and become the good guy. Reilly and Sarah Silverman, who played the wisecracking Vanellope von Schweetz, will both return for the sequel.
I think for me, the big draw for that film was just seeing all the Easter egg characters that they put in there.
Yeah, here's Sonic the Hedgehog, and here's Mario sitting in a room, and here's Bowser talking in a group therapy session.
Exactly. And yeah, Dig Dug, and
they got to do that again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they don't do that, then that's dumb.
And sadly, that wasn't enough to save Pixels for me. Just those little cameos, sadly.
Pixels, one of the greatest ideas ever with the worst possible execution. Well done, yep. Pixels. Scarlett Johansson has been named something that maybe she... I suppose this is fine to be named this. I wouldn't mind being named this.
Sure.
Scarlett Johansson was named the highest grossing actress in Hollywood history.
Counting, I'm assuming that's accounting for inflation.
Well, let's find out. With a diverse filmography, including standalone action vehicles, critically lauded independent films, and several franchise blockbusters, to her credit, Scarlett Johansson, who was also in The Horse Whisperer, not the dog one.
She was?
Yeah, she was the girl in The Horse Whisperer, unless I'm completely smoking crack. I'm pretty sure she was the girl.
Oh, for some reason, I was thinking Ghost Whisperer. Sorry.
No, not that one. Definitely not that one. she has been named the highest grossing actress of all time by Box Office Mojo. The tracking site recently released an updated version of its top earning actors list, which ranks the 31-year-old star of such films as Captain America, Civil War, and Avengers at number 10 among Hollywood's performers, with North American box office receipts totaling over $3.3 billion for the movies she's appeared in.
Wow.
She's appeared in feature films as a child actor in the mid-90s, though her career really took off in the early 2000s with roles in such prestige movies as Ghost World, The Horse Whisperer, Lost in Translation, and Match Point. Since then, mm-hmm. she's branched off into the superhero genre, appearing in comic book characters, Black Widow, blah, blah, blah. 5 times she's been Black Widow. Think of that. Five times.
And still none of them a Black Widow movie.
Nope. And they've all happened since 2012. That's also crazy.
That is crazy.
All 5 of them. Let's name them real quick. Avengers...
Avengers
2, Captain America,
Winter Soldier.
First one too, right? Didn't she show up at the end?
No, it was the Iron Man. Iron Man 2 was her first.
Oh, you're
her first appearance.
So that was 2010. So 2010, then Avengers.
Right.
Then Avengers 2. Well, not right after that, but Avengers right. 2 will count
Winter
that.
Winter Soldier, Civil War.
Civil War. That's five.
And Lucy of the Galaxy.
Lucy of the Galaxy. Oh, what a great time Lucy of the Galaxy was. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamond. Woman.
Woman.
Lucy Woman.
Lucy Woman.
No, I remember seeing her in Ghost World, I guess it was, right? Really yep. early on.
Yep.
That was a comic book adaptation with Steve Buscemi, right?
Yeah.
And Thor Birch. And I remember saying, well, we're never going to see her again. Flash the pen.
This is that's the one. This article says this is where her career really took off, was Ghost World, claiming it here. I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, no. It's actually really good. It's not a typical Hollywood movie, that's for sure.
Yeah. I've never seen it. I have no idea.
Right. But Ghost in the Shell will make her second ghost movie as well.
Yeah, that's right. Should be Ghost in the Shell, Ghost World. What's next? I Ain't Afraid of No Ghosts.
StarCraft Ghost.
Ghost. Brilliant. She'd be a good Nova.
Yeah.
She actually would be.
She would, actually, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to do a StarCraft movie, there's your lady. Also in the news, television and movies, Harry Potter is back in the news. Daniel Radcliffe, who looks like my brother-in-law, hasn't ruled out another go as Harry Potter.
Original headline was, Daniel Radcliffe is broke.
I think he's actually doing all right.
No, he's doing all right. I'm kidding.
So yeah, his last movie kind of tanked. The Now You See Me Too, that did not do well.
Right, did not do well. But his stage stuff has been doing really well.
What's the one where he farts?
Reckless.
No, where he farts and flies across the water. What's that? The new one. It's a new one. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, right. Is that the, what is that?
It may not be out yet. It might be still coming.
It's something coming. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, it's where that kid from the teenage son from Sunshine. No, Sunny Sunshine. All right, we're going to remember this one.
It's Steve Carell. Little Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine, that's it. He was the teenage son, and then he's done a bunch of other
horns.
Stuff.
Horns. No, not Horns. That was a couple of years ago. What is it here? I'm looking for it. Looking.
Well, Horns was Radcliffe, right?
Yeah, it was Radcliffe.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the other kid. The guy that was in Sunshine. Right, Miss Sunshine.
Dano, Paul Dano.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
What's he do?
He gets his milkshake drink.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was. He was the one in that. Oh, right, it was driving me crazy. Because I knew there was another major thing he did, and that was it. You'll drink your milkshake. That's the guy. Anyway.
He's playing. He and somebody else are playing brothers. Oh, no, you know what it was? It was last year. It was the biopic for Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Oh, he's in that?
Yeah.
Does he play Brian Wilson or somebody
else?
No,
somebody else plays Brian Wilson, and I can't remember who it is, and I'm not even going to try. Pumbaa.
don't even
get me started, guys. Not even going there.
Little Miss Pumbaa. That's it.
Little Miss Pumbaa. That's exactly who played Brian Wilson.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Radcliffe says that he'll probably do it again if stuff's right. He says this. There was a lot of talk about him never doing it again. And now there's that stage play thing going on that's like a totally different actor. If that becomes a thing. Oh, Swiss Army Man's the movie where he's dead. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he farts and flies across the water?
Yeah, and he does all kind of stuff with farting. Like, it's you need to see the trailer if you haven't seen this. It is.
I apparently haven't seen it.
It's super weird.
It's Paul Dano, Swiss Army Man.
Super
Mary
weird.
Elizabeth Winstead, who I have a little bit of a crush on.
Oh, do you now?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
She's cute.
What'd she do? Give me another show, movie thing.
Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, she's like her. Yep.
Yeah. This most recent Cloverfield.
She's the girl, the Cloverfield Lane girl in the house there.
Right.
In the bunker.
Exactly.
Okay.
And half of the band got a girl, which is great.
Oh, I didn't know that was an actual band.
There is an actual band.
Hold on. Is she Scott Pilgrim's girlfriend with the
hair? She is Scott Pilgrim's girlfriend. Yeah. Not Knives, but.
The other one.
The other one. The one he actually is like lusting after and fighting the evil exes.
The one he pines for the entire movie.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Ramona, thank you.
Ramona.
Tom DeGosa and everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, entire chat room, for clearing that up. We appreciate it. Well, speaking...
It's almost like we're playing a game with them, like dangling a little carrot. Like, what's that?
Yeah.
Oh, do you want it? Yep. You better type it in chat. Come on.
You guys can have a little taste. Just hanging our wiener over the edge of the boat. All right. While speaking with Radio Times recently, Radcliffe revealed he wouldn't rule out playing Harry Potter once again as an adult, although he's not exactly jumping at the chance to do it this minute. He does another actor that has played his fair share of iconic characters. I don't think that sentence is right.
No, I don't think that's right at all.
They screwed that up. That is not me, that's them. Anyway, he says, quote, it would depend on the script. The circumstances would have to be pretty extraordinary. But then I'm sure Harrison Ford said that when with Han Solo, and look what happened there. So I'm saying no for now, but leaving room for backtrack in the future. Well, of course you're not going to say no. Come on.
What a useless article.
It's super useless.
Right.
Hey, guys, guess what? Let me sum it all up in one sentence. Daniel Radcliffe might do Harry Potter in the future sometime.
Exactly. Done. Right. It's such a non-piece of information. The headline makes it sound like, oh, he's up for another go. He wants to do it again. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I hope this doesn't actually print on any paper. Well, what a waste of an article that was. It's already wasting digital space.
ScienceFiction.com.
Save your bits, everybody. Don't report dumb articles. And finally, the top 10 leading causes of death in the United States. I've been excited to tell you about this one.
Oh, of course.
Nice and morbid. All right, so here's the deal. In 2014, a total of 2,626,418 deaths were reported in the United States, and the age-adjusted death rate decreased 1% to a new record low.
Although, wow, so people are dying less as of 2014.
We are living longer.
Okay.
Bob Anderson, chief of the CDC's mortality statistics branch, he's the one that blew the place up when the survivors showed up at the end of season 1.
Right.
Played the best friend of Truman on The Truman Show. Anyway, told CBS News, 15 leading causes of death in 2014 remain the same as in 2013, so the list hadn't changed. Quote, we all have to die sometime at some point and of something. When you're looking at these categories, you have to account for the fact that there are competing risks, but you can't avoid them, says Anderson. So why the list, then, asked the article on CBS News. Well, we want to create a society where we live as long as we can, as healthily as we can, he says. Crunching the data provides researchers with information that will help develop prevention programs. So, without further ado, I'm going to give you the leading causes. Ready?
All right, hold on. Let me pull up the list here so I can be looking at it, too.
These are all the ways we're going to die.
All right, great.
Number one, heart disease.
Sure.
Top the list now for years now.
Them Twinkies are killing us.
That's right.
And cigarettes and, well, I guess that's a different thing.
Sure. But the total number has gone down overall, though, over the last 50 years. We're dying of less heart disease than we used to.
Right.
But it's still the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he says this, what we're seeing in the last 20 or 30 years is rapid decline in heart disease. The decline has been fairly rapid and rapid enough, so it's sort of it has overshadowed the aging of the population. However, a new study published this week shows the decline in deaths from heart disease and strokes had slowed, nearly leveling out since 2011. So we haven't really seen a huge jump, but it's still the number one cause. Number two, cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cancer, Brian. Gradual rise in deaths over time. Zup, zup, zup. Cancer tends to occur a little bit later, and it's more of a chronic issue. It kills you later than heart disease does on average. You see this increase in cancer mortality. It's a lot of it is lung cancer. He noted that the gap between heart disease and cancer deaths has narrowed substantially over time due to the shrinking of heart disease. So,
and the increasing of cancer, right?
Yeah, your cells get weird and they go crazy. That's kind of the bottom line there. Chronic lower respiratory diseases. That's
COPD.
Number three. Yeah, COPD. COPD, the police.
This is what I was thinking. Besides, you know, the smoking causing cancer, this is what I was thinking about when I was talking about the heart problems with smoking.
Yep.
But that's more of it's pulmonary. It's breathing issues.
Yeah. Bronchitis, emphysema, asthma, all brought on with larger risks if you are a smoker. I don't know why I'm doing that voice. I really should stop.
Smoker.
Smoker with the cancer. All right. Here's the next one. Accidents. That's number four. Motor vehicle accidents, unintentional drug overdoses, and accidental falls and other injuries make up this category. This is the largest proportion, or the largest portion of these are vehicle accidents and drug overdoses, says this dude. The number of accidental drug-related deaths have been rising amid a growing epidemic of heroin and opioid painkiller addictions. Deaths from motor vehicles declined when seat belts and car seats for kids were mandated. They have made a huge difference. So for those complaining that the government's making me wear my seatbelt, man, actually saved people.
I wonder if we're seeing a rise with the prevalence of texting and driving, if we're seeing a rise in motor vehicle accident deaths.
I don't know. I mean, it says here, well, they say it's here that it's declined. So the question is, did the seatbelts make it decline overall, and did text-related stuff go up, but it wasn't enough to affect the overall trend?
Well, and I don't think we've had as big of a problem with texting. This is from 2014, and I'd say 2015 is when we probably would see a rise in...
Yeah, probably.
...in texting-related accidents.
Seems like it would start peaking, yes, I would agree.
Yeah.
Number five, stroke. Cardiovascular disease or stroke is not considered heart disease. It involves blood vessels. It's the vessels of your blood. Stroke is centered in the brain. Heart disease is centered in the heart. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
Both infarction and blockage of blood vessels leading to the brain and hemorrhage due to things like brain aneurysms are included. This has dropped substantially, he says. You know, the news would have you believe otherwise. The actual data shows things are on the better. Like I always say, history's a rising road, you jackasses. You just like a good controversy. But as you can see from actual raw data, all this shit's down.
Right.
All right. Number six, Alzheimer's disease. That has climbed in recent years. And I know why. Do you want to know why? I can tell you it's easy.
Why?
Because we're living longer from all the other stuff that used to kill us earlier. And the longer we live,
chance of getting Alzheimer's.
Yeah, because if we live long enough.
It's basically that our timeline of life is extending into that area where Alzheimer's becomes more prevalent.
Yeah, but also it's inevitable at some point. If you live to be 200 years old, you're going to get Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
If you live to be, some people get it early, some people sadly get it in their 50s, some people get it in their 80s, some people get it in their 90s, but if you live long enough, you're going to get it. If you live long enough, Brian, you'll get cataracts. Now, you may be one of those stout dudes who has perfect eyes right up to 98, but if you live to 105, you'd have cataracts. Because that's just the way our bodies go.
Sure.
So Alzheimer's is like there, and the growth is, I believe, connected to how we're living longer. That's me, a totally uneducated opinion from Scott Johnson. All right. Diabetes, number seven, diabetes. Mm-hmm. It has bobbed up and down in the top 10th list for years. It hasn't changed a whole lot in the last 10 years, it says here. They're probably underreported, some of those deaths, because primary cause of deaths are usually pointed to things that look like these other causes. But really, diabetes was the reason. Number eight, influenza and pneumonia. Don't be so afraid of the flu as much as you think you are, because eight on the list. Still there. You got to be careful.
You should still be concerned. Take the Theraflu. Get some rest. Lots of fluids.
Yep.
But don't, fill out your will while you're laying there watching Rachel Ray.
Yep. Don't watch Rachel Ray. That's the other thing. Kidney disease, number nine. That's with the beans, right? The kidney beans?
Yeah, right. There you go.
Don't eat those beans. 10, suicide. So number 10.
The 10th leading cause of death is suicide.
Yeah, and it says the number of cases has been slightly on the rise. The rate of suicide has gone up nearly steadily since 99. It has typically been there between numbers 10 and 15, and occasionally has popped up into the top 10. And is something we're keeping our eye on. Well, that's good, Dr. Anderson. I'm glad you're keeping your eye on it. lastly, they say other causes can be things like Parkinson's disease and other things that may lead to accidents and other stuff that may be in the other categories. Another significant cause of death, HIV/AIDS, has been declining since the peak in the 1995, but the disease still takes a high toll. For men ages 25 to 34, HIV/AIDS was the eighth leading cause of death in 2014.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for just dudes in that age range, gay or not. Gay or not, it's my new game show. I'm bringing it to CBS. Gay or not.
Starring Neil Patrick Harris.
Life expectancy.
Kevin Spacey.
In here it says that 78.8 years is our current life expectancy average. Life expectancy rose for black males, Hispanic males and females, and non-Hispanic black males. Life expectancy shrunk for non-Hispanic white females from 2013-2014, possibly due to the opioid use and suicide thing. That's depressing. But a lot of people are living into their 90s, so get ready to take care of an aging generation, everybody. That's the bottom line takeaway. We're going to take a break when we come back. It's app time, it's Twitter time, and it's more. But before that, it's music.
It is music, and once again, it is Indie in the Middle. Pulling up my list here, and... this is cool. They're all cool, right? I tell you that they're always cool, but this is more of a dancey kind of, let's get into summer, let's get into the weekend kind of thing. This is from a band called Legends, and it's a new album or a new single from an upcoming album. And I'm pulling it right here. Here we go. That's what I was looking for right there. Mm-hmm. It's another group from Stockholm. Remember how we keep pulling these Swedish bands, but they're really good. They start out in 2003. They were originally a 9-piece band, and they've kind of tapered it down. I don't know. I think there are 6 people now in the band, but it's really, really good. They released their 5th album last year called It's Love, and then this is a brand new single for an upcoming album. The song is called Summer in the City, Living is for Somebody Else. Here are the Legends.
Man, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, people were saying kind of like early Daft Punk, and I totally see that. Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally see it.
Some of my favorite Daft Punk was early Daft
Punk. Was early Daft Punk?
Yeah, that was really good. All right, we're back, everybody. Thanks for being back with us. Won't you now join me as I click a thing and get excited about it? Here it is. App Slappy. A lot of people think I should bring App Slappy back. I don't know, man. Maybe one day.
Yeah, you
one
should.
Day. Yeah. At the time, Eric had crazy schedule. I had crazy schedule. It just didn't. It wasn't working. And Eileen had stuff. It's just a guy. Mm-hmm. And she bought freaking Android phones, and she was all into that for a while. Now she's back on iPhone, so maybe that makes a difference. Huh. I don't know. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
We'll see.
No promises. Just like Daniel Radcliffe, we're not ruling it out.
No, we'll never rule it out. Because you never know when we might swing on back to this. All right, Brian, it's time for app time. I'll start today. Got an app to recommend to the fine folks at home.
Cool.
It's a video game.
All right.
I don't want to shock you, but it's a video game. So last week I talked about Boom Boom Football, which I'm still super into, and I check every day and like get my rewards and stuff, and I really like it. But since then, it was recommended to me because I've tried a lot of these games where you kind of collect characters or creatures and then you fight with them and then you upgrade them.
Oh,
it's like your Marvel
Avengers Alliance.
Kind of like that.
Star Wars Commander.
Very good. Exactly. Right. That sort of thing. Not the like, oh, here's, not like the, what's the one that everyone plays? Not like a Clash of Clans. Different than that, but the kind that are just like character based where you're always upgrading your characters. And there's a million of these on the App Store.
Sure.
And all of them, almost all of them, are microtransaction nightmares. Okay.
Right.
Like if you really want to do something, you're like, well, if you paid $1.99, you could
level this character immediately.
Sure. And we're all just sick of that. And I'm sick of it. But I've always liked the structure of those games, and I just wish somebody would put out a nice premium version of that so I could just play it for real and none of the gameplay would be hampered or hindered or designed around the idea of making me pay microtransactions for
it.
Just make me pay a reasonable price for a game. And someone did. And that someone is DC Comics and Cartoon Network.
Really? Oh, is this the new Teen Titans thing?
Yeah, and it's called Teeny Titans. And the Teen Titans go around finding these things, these little action figures. It's almost like they're buying Amiibos or something. They buy these things called Teeny Titans in the story. It all starts with Robin being kind of a dick and going to fight some Teeny Titans.
Really, he really is.
He's a huge dick in this thing. But it's animated really well. It's actually kind of funny. And you battle others and try to collect all the Teeny Titans. You upgrade their abilities. It's the same, like the stuff you love about that Marvel Ultimate Alliance thing or any of these other kind of games. It's all there, but none of it is stopped by weird timers or you only have enough energy to do five of these battles or all that BS is gone.
Oh, thank goodness. So you don't have like... it's going to be 12 hours for you to level your so-and-so character. It's like...
Yeah, or you can pay some jingle berries and do it in five minutes. They don't do that in here. All it is just play... The actual raw gameplay of that kind of game is there. So if you like turn-based battles, sort of JRPG-style battles with a pretty cool cooldown system, pretty weirdo cool graphics. Like, I'm kind of... I don't even know how to describe them. They remind me of... Wind Waker, the Zelda Wind Waker game that was all like cel-shaded.
I can see that. Yeah, like, kind of like a Powerpuff Girls.
Sort of, except it's 3D. So it's more like...
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, a lot of it's 2D like storytelling, but then when you get into the actual fights, everybody's like polygonal. But it looks like Zelda Wind Waker style. It's super cool. And I totally recommend it. I don't even know what else to say about it. You already know if you're listening to me, if any of these games have ever tickled your bone, okay? If they have, and you're sick of paying for gems and berries and whatever, get this, because it's only like $5. And you may say, I don't pay $5 for anything on the App Store. Well, then you're a cheap bastard, and why are you listening to me anyway? Download this game, play it. It's for real. I like it a lot. It's like, and it's kind of obvious. It's up on the top 10 lists of all the App Stores, so it's not like I discovered this weird gem somewhere hidden. This is super popular right now. So you probably have already heard of it, but it's really great. And if you like Teen Titans, that's a bonus, but I don't think you have to. Though I think...
Cool. You got your Beast Boy, you got your Cyborg, you got your Starfire.
Yep, Cyborg's the man, Raven. Dude. Cyborg's great. Freaking love him. Cool. He's going to be in the... He's in the Justice League movie, didn't that get confirmed?
Yeah, that's who we saw in BVS.
That's right. He was getting burnt or toasted or something was going on with him on their fancy video screen, right? Wasn't that the deal?
Right, yes.
And then they had the Flash trying to steal a hot dog at a gas station or something.
And then you had Aquaman...
just poking his head out.
He's
like one of those... He's like one of those nature documentaries about fish where the fish just kind of come out of a little coral hole and go back in.
The male superhero.
The electric eel the sound I made.
Indeed. Anyway, go get it. It's available now. It's like $5. Teeny Titans. And it's awesome. Brian, tell me of your app.
All right. I'm going to name two. One of them is an honorable mention because I just got it. It just came out and I haven't really had time to totally play with it. The first one, though, is called Perchang.
Ooh.
P-E-R-C-H-A-N-G.
All right.
And this is a physics-based puzzler where you've got balls that come in on one side of the screen or one part of the screen, and you've got to use physics to get them to the other side. And what you've got are... two buttons, a red button and a blue button. And on your screen, somewhere among the path that these balls will take, you've got fans or seesaws or platforms that you raise and lower using those two colors. And you can assign, you can say, all right, I want the fan to be red and I want the platform to be blue. And then on the screen, you'll press the red and blue buttons with your thumbs to indicate which one you want to activate. You can activate them both or one or the other or whatever.
Right.
And the goal is to get the balls from one side into the receptacle. Mm-hmm. And you only have to get like 8 balls or 12 balls or something in the receptacle. But, you know, if you've got 2 fans and you're flinging these balls all over the place, I swear, it can, you know, you might have a hard time getting those balls in there. What's really cool about this are the visuals. This is a gorgeous game. Mm. It's three-dimensionally rendered, and it is absolutely just a beautiful-looking game. The music is also really, really good.
Yeah. Well, that's
so
awesome.
Two things going for. And the puzzles, they ramp up quickly. I mean, you get your first tutorial puzzles, it's like, oh, there's a piece of cake. And then the fourth puzzle is like, oh, all right, this is going to take some timing and some forethought and that sort of thing. It's really, really good. Per Chang is the name of that game. Available on the iPad. I don't know about Android, but a lot of fun.
Okay, nice.
The other one, and I'm going to turn on sound so you can hear this, because one of the things I like about it is the sound. Let's see if I can get the dude to talk. Oh, I have to... all right, yes, upgrade. Fine. Guess what? It's a microtransaction game.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Yeah, but it's a... So you get your Cooking Dash style games. All right, is he going to talk? Come on, talk, dude. Oh, geez, Louise.
I hear some action.
We're not getting to get him to talk at all.
It sounds like Vegas over there.
It kind of is. Oh, let's see. Oh, he might talk now. Let's see.
All right.
Grab a patty. This is a Diner Dash game based on Gordon Ramsay's restaurants.
Okay.
And it...
your first customer.
And it's got his voice in there calling you a stupid donkey to... and he tells you, he berates you and tells you to get a move on because your food is getting burned and you're not cooking fast enough and you're...
But it's not actually Gordon Ramsay, right? Or is it?
It is actually Gordon Ramsay. Oh, wow. This is a Gordon Ramsay licensed game called Ramsay Dash.
Okay.
I haven't fed my customers for 7 days, so I imagine they're pretty hungry by now.
Yeah.
But it's... I haven't played it much, but I do like the fact that you've got Gordon Ramsay kind of yelling at you while you're cooking.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So is he... So this is a licensed... Is it the Dash people that made Diner Dash and all those other Dash games?
Yeah, it feels like it. It feels like it's an authentic Dash game. So it's got all those things you expect from that, like, okay, while that's cooking, better go make some asparagus. I know you got three customers waiting for this, so you gotta do that. So it's stressful, you know, it's one of those stressful Dash games, but it's got the added, I don't know, benefit or detriment that you've got Gordon Ramsay calling you a donkey and telling your risotto's garbage.
Does he bleep at you? Does he do any bleeping? Or is
there apparently is. There's apparently he does cross the explicit threshold.
Really?
From a review that I read. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. It hasn't happened to me. But
that's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm kind of into that if he's swearing at me. Because I you and I have always had a penchant for these like time management game styles. And we even had an idea for a long time to maybe do one.
Right.
That reminds me, I'm going to talk to a guy. But anyway, yes. I want to maybe see a new one. So maybe that's the one for
give
me.
Give it a shot. Ramsay Dash.
Does he have a big bobblehead?
He does. He has a big bobblehead. It's a stylized version. But the greatest thing is when he's doing his little intro bits. So basically it's like a reality show where he's, it's more like Kitchen Nightmares than Hell's Kitchen. Basically we've got an up and coming new chef in a cafe in Brighton. But he does exactly like they've cartoonized all of his things that he does, where he basically does this gesture with his hand where he's like almost saying, I'm this tall. You must be this tall to ride the, the Hell's Kitchen, which is like the only other thing that he knows how to do. Like they tell him, you got to move your hands. You got to use your hands, Gordon Ramsay. So this is what he does. He's like, and when you make that risotto, make sure, you know, et cetera. So Gordon Ramsay Dash or Ramsay Dash. And it's pretty funny.
Ramsay Dash.
Ramsay Dash.
I like that. Lamsy Dipsy Divey or whatever. Hey, look at this.
There's your notes on Lamsy Divey.
There you go. That's the one I was looking for. Okay. We sometimes do, well, don't sometimes do this. We do this every Thursday, and there's nothing you can do about it, so here goes.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
The newest tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
I do. Let's go bird hunting this weekend. Let's go look for some tweets from you. You've asked us questions at the Ask TMS hashtag, which is entirely ours now. I don't see any other weird corporate ones getting stuck in there that sometimes happens. It looks like it's ours.
Probably because they realize, you know, well, why are we getting this question about if it's too early for a fish sandwich?
Exactly. So I'm going to give you guys your most recent questions. And they start with this one from regular question asker Katie Talmo, who says, have you ever walked away from a movie feeling like you were ripped off? She says, I have. Disney's Atlantis, a 90-minute ad for their resort. I liked Atlantis, so I can't agree with her on that one. I thought Atlantis was cool.
I don't remember Atlantis, sadly. I mean, I remember the movie. I could describe what it was, but I don't remember. I couldn't tell you anything about it other than the poster and kind of the general synopsis.
Well, here was the deal. You got Michael J. Fox as the main voice. You got James Garner as the bad guy.
See, even that part. Okay, that's as far as I was able to get.
And then you had... I almost said Wilford Brimley. You had Leonard Nimoy as the voice of the wise old fish man or whatever. I liked that movie. It was good. I had
wise
lots of times.
Old fish man.
I felt this way lots of times. I felt like I got ripped off at both the Superman movies. They felt like bad purchases to me. Recently, though, that's about the only ones I can think of. I'm usually pretty picky about that. And if I'm watching something on Netflix that's just terrible, I'll just stop watching.
Just stop it. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Who cares? So how about you? Anything that jumps out?
The last thing I can remember was Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was the only movie I ever just flat out walked out of.
You really hated that movie.
I really hated that movie. And you guys made me watch it again for Film Sack.
Wow.
And I kind of liked it a little bit better the second time because of Jean-Claude Van Damme. Other dude, Swedish dude.
Well,
Holt Sinners.
What's his name? Freaking Dolph Lundgren.
Thank you. Yes. I couldn't remember.
That Swedish dude.
You know, the Swedish dude. I must break him, dude.
I did walk out of the only movie I ever walked out of, I think, was A Fine Mess with Howie Mandel and Ted Danson.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was a piece of steaming shit.
That was horrible.
And I was real young when that came out, and I just walked the hell out of there. All right, next question from Peter Fisher, another frequent asker. Mm-hmm. Since you're both using one pre-show, what are the chances of the hammock carrier, the hammock carrier edition of TMS PM? I don't know what that means.
The hammock carrier.
Since you were both using one pre-show. Oh, he's talking about the hammock.
He's wondering if we're ever going to do a TMS from the hammocks.
Oh, probably not. There's too many wires and microphones and crap.
Exactly.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, it'd be a periscope, basically, is what we'd be able to do, and that's it.
Stumpwater Jack asks, if you knew you'd be killed by or because of an animal, what animal would you want to be responsible for your death?
Holy cow. Jeez.
A holy cow. All right. So,
yeah, I would like to be killed by a holy cow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's nothing I think that would kill me fast enough to where I'd say, oh, that's the way I'd want to go. Like, shark would be long and painful. I think a bear would be horrible, getting stung by some sort of insect.
If it killed you instantly, though, the insect's not a bad way.
Yeah, I think that would be the closest. Is there an insect that kind of makes you have this euphoric feel before you die? Because I'd like that one.
They're probably ones that make you go kind of numb and that you wouldn't feel any pain, maybe.
Right.
So maybe that'd be all right. I could use one of those today. I got a headache. You know, I want something quick. So I'm with Brian. I don't want it to last a long. I got it. Here you go. I want to ride on the back of an ostrich, and I want that ostrich to run right up to the edge of a cliff in the Grand Canyon. And stop so suddenly that I am thrown off of the bird thing, and then I land in the bottom of the canyon and die instantly.
When he stops, is he going to like drag his feet on the ground and make two little impressions of his heels going, and then you fall off and he goes, boing, back straight up.
Evil genius. Yeah. And I'm going to go flying off the edge and I'm going to die that way. Because then it's quick. I get a cool ride out of it. I get a cool fall out of it, and it doesn't hurt.
Sure.
At least that's the theory.
That's horrible.
Linky McScott says, podcasting is deemed illegal under the next president, but you're asked to join the cabinet. What seat do you hold?
President Cochran against the Diamond Group. I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question? Because I was too busy laughing at making podcasting illegal.
So he says if it's deemed legal by the next president, assuming it's Hillary or Trump, douchebag. Right?
Yeah.
But you're asked to join the cabinet. What seat do you hold? So what position on the cabinet do you take? Do you think you'd be best suited?
Got it. So podcasting is illegal, so I can't do that anymore, but I get to be part of the cabinet.
Yeah,
of
it's
the
an
president
odd
who's
question.
Made it illegal.
It's an odd question because you couldn't just skip the podcast part and just say you've been asked to join the cabinet.
Well, I think they want to make sure that we don't say I'm going to be the secretary of podcasting.
Oh, good point. That's a good point.
Secretary of extraterrestrial life discovery.
Oh yeah, dude.
Me and Delange. We're gonna go find Area 51.
I like that. Didn't Hillary Clinton make a promise that if she made it in, she was gonna reveal all that?
Yes, right.
I think that's gonna be great because it's gonna be all bullshit. Anyone who thinks there's a little green alien in there, you're watching too many History Channel documentaries.
No, but whoever asked that question is now happy and satisfied. She did her job.
I guess so. She lied. She did her job and lied.
She did her job in line.
Stumpwater Jack says, how will you spend this 4th of July? Well, because we did all this stuff to our backyard and the new porch and everything, we're going to have a barbecue here for a few friends and family. And then we're going to another friend's house not far from here, where from his vantage point, from his deck, you can see like 8 different fireworks shows in the valley all at once.
Wow.
It looks like you're watching Beirut in the 80s.
Like right, yeah, because it's like, oh, poof, and then you look over there and there's another one going.
It's super cool.
We could do that from Heritage Square, what used to be Heritage Square.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. My days of going to some park and fighting traffic and parking and nightmare people and everyone blowing smoke and BO in my face, F that. I'm not doing that anymore.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Totally with you.
What are you getting to?
I think we're going to do something similar. I think we're going to kind of just relax here at the house. We've had a lot of trips recently. We've got another trip coming up next week. So I think we're actually just going to take that opportunity to hang out here with the dogs, not go out and see faraway fireworks and maybe just go see something close that we can maybe ride our bikes to.
Dude, I'm so with you on that. That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
We're getting old.
Yes, no more of that.
Not going downtown, you pot-smoking hippie.
Yes.
Stumpwater Jack asks again, what game character would you want to appear in the next Wreck-It Ralph? We only get one. I'm going to say
Metal Gear.
I'm going to say Solid Snake. He should be in there.
that is a good question.
Snake. Metal Gear.
I want one of those purple Ku Klux Klan looking guys from Rolling Thunder. Remember those guys?
Yeah, I knew exactly what you were going to say. As soon as you said purple Ku Klux and you had me.
Right.
Oh my gosh, Rolling Thunder, dude. What a video game that was. I used to love that game. And it had those slow bullets. Oh, so good.
Yes, right.
And they just barely moved. Dean Bartlett asks, I'll do it in the voice I assume he has for the way he wrote it. How many hot dogs have you consume at one time? Because that's what it says. How many hot dogs have you consume at one time? At one time is a weird way to ask that, because do you mean how many you can get
one
my mouth
right
at
after
once?
Another, or how many like simultaneous hot dogs can
I
you
had
consume?
We did a mini contest once where I ate 3 rapidly, and then that's all I could do. It made me sick to eat anything more than that. So that's as many as I could do is 3.
I think as a teenager, I could have put away. Because once you figure out as a kid that you just basically put the hot dog in the bun, wrap the whole thing in paper towel, stick it in the microwave for 30 seconds or 60 seconds, and you've got a hot dog.
Mm.
Once you figure that out and you get home from school and you're hungry, I think I probably polished off like 3 or 4.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
How quickly, though? Like, how fast?
Oh, like over the course of watching whatever was on TV at that time, probably a couple episodes of I Love Lucy or Dick Van Dyke or something. Like
Brave Star, whatever.
Yeah, right, exactly. Whatever syndicated show was on about 3 p.m.
Brave Star. How's that song go? Brave Star.
I don't know.
That's a good cartoon. Dan Ransom wrote in, and I love his question because his name sounds like one of these. He says... we got to pick a detective here. Do we want Lieutenant Columbo or Jim Rockford? But I also just would like to say for the record, Dan Ransom is a badass name for a detective.
Yeah, Dan Ransom, PI.
Oh, that's great. I would hire Dan Ransom in a heartbeat.
And the sign on his door, like his glass door, is written with a whole bunch of different styles of letters.
Yes, Dan Ransom. Yes, it'd be like one of those coded messages with all the cutout paper stuff.
All the magazine headlines, right?
I love that. But I'm going Jim Rockford.
Rockford for sure. Columbo's great, but he seemed like he was a little confused and flighty all the time, he was always part of the long game.
Yeah, right? He was off his rocker.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah, let me, hold on a second.
Let me read you a story, Mr. Wonder Years kid.
Yeah, no, I agree. Jim Rockford got business done. Yeah, he had elbow patches. He always got the girl. He had a sweet Camaro. That's the guy. He had a machine, an answering machine every episode that would, like, Angel or somebody would call him early. It was awesome. Right. Sean Cox says, get pooped on by 50 seagulls at once or one pterodactyl. 50 seagulls at once or one pterodactyl. I'm going the pterodactyl.
It's kind of like six of one, half a dozen the other. I mean, if your eyes are closed, it's going to be about the same, right?
I guess so.
I hate seagull poop.
I do too. It's our state bird, and we have to live with it. We have to live with these as our state bird. It freaking sucks.
It just seems crazy that seagulls would be the Utah state bird.
Well, I told you the story, right? The cricket thing. It's so dumb. I'm going with the one-time pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl, I think so. Yeah, just get it over with.
Because he probably ate a big, healthy mastodon or something. The birds have all been eating shit all day and french fries in the parking lot and stuff.
Right. Other dirty, dirty birds.
They're gross.
Chris, you're going to get, like, you know, mastodon bones in your pterodactyl poop, though.
Yeah, or puke, for that matter.
Or puke.
Luke, this guy, says, what is your favorite barbecue item to eat?
Oh, I like that question.
Yeah, do you have an item?
I do. So there's a place here in Boulder. Well, in Denver, there's a couple new ones that have opened up. But start out in Boulder, and we tried to take Nicole and Mark and the kids to it. It's called KT's Barbecue, and it's my favorite barbecue place. As a matter of fact, if you go to one of the stores, there is an Elvis bust wearing a real cloth cape. And that cloth cape actually belongs to me because I won it in their 10th anniversary Elvis lookalike contest.
Wow, really?
And they asked if they could just keep the cape on the Elvis. And I said, yeah, sure, that's fine. Then they gave me like a year's supply of barbecue. Their pulled pork is absolutely incredible, especially with their medium mustard-based sauce. However, they also have a hot link. Mm. Like a sliced up sausage with their barbecue sauce, that if I could only go there and pick one thing to eat, that is the thing there that I will eat.
That sounds so good.
It's really, really good.
That sounds really good. Just talking about it, I'll have a hot link right now.
No kidding. How about you? What's your
brisket? Some kind of barbecue brisket, sort of beefy thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty much always in for that. Nice and rare in the middle. Mm. Man, we had that the other day. Maybe that's why it's on my mind, but
nice. Nice.
I also like a good bratwurst, one that you can just like pop open and have it go.
Yes, right.
Oh, it's the best. All right, final question. Andrew Campbell writes in and says, who wins in a fist fight, Chester Cheetah or Tony the Tiger?
In either case, that fight would be great.
It'd be a great fight, and it would be cool.
It would easily be Tony the Tiger. Chester Cheetah is not a fighter. He's a lover.
No, he's a kind of a weasel.
He's fast.
He's just sneaking around going, Cheeto dust on everything. And
Come here. I'm going to bust your ass.
Tony would be like,
I narrated the Grinch.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. Thurl Ravenscroft, voice of Tony the Tiger and also the narrator of, or the singer of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
That is so great. I freaking love that. All right. That's it for the Twitter questions. Thank you guys so much. They're awesome.
Forget your John Ransom or whatever his name was. Thurl Ravenscroft, P.I. Yeah. There's your name right there.
Thurl Ravenscroft, P.I. versus John Ransom. Together
at
last.
That's the guy you hire right there to find your lost wife.
That's right. Join us next time as we delve further into whose name sounds like what on TMSPM. Thankful to you people at home who have supported us at patreon.com/TMS. It is the very reason why this extra show exists and many other cool things there. Please go check it out. patreon.com/TMS. imagine what a tiny bit of money gives you per month. Per month is all we're asking. Mm-hmm. Lots of shows stick you for per episode. It's like, per episode, we'll crank it all up. Nope. We're just like, hey, we just need some sort of monthly happiness here. That's it. So go do it. Show stream live at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. If you'd like to email us, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com. Leave us your voicemails at 801-471-0462. Follow us on Twitter. The show is at morningstream. I'm at Scott Johnson, and Brian is at Coverville.
I am.
Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. All right, that's it. Let's head out into the snow, and you'll play us a song as we do so.
Right. King of the North.
King of the North.
John wrote in, J-O-N, speaking of which, wrote in and said, hey, Scott and Brian, my best friend and his wife are expecting. If that wasn't good news already, due to a job change, they are moving from 3 hours away to 5 minutes away. To celebrate all of this, I was hoping you could play Let the Good Times Roll by Powerman 5000 on the day he starts the new job. Congratulations, Brandon. So excited to have my best friends and future goddaughter close by and looking forward to the good times to come. Go eat some froyo, bros. Signed, John. Well, very nice. I'm happy for you too, John. And boy, this is a rocker. Good Times Roll, originally by The Cars, covered here by Powerman 5000. It's some heavy stuff to take you into your weekend, which is just fine. 1999, Tonight the Stars Revolt is the album. You'll find this on Powerman 5000 and Good Times Roll.
Here it is. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Let the good times roll. Let them knock you. Let them make you a clown. Let them beat you up in the air. Let them prize that rock and roll there. Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll.
Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I smell like beef.